How do I launch a podcast? How do I grow my audience? How can I earn money from my show? What's the best mic or recording equipment to use? The Podcast Host Academy answers all those questions and more. The Podcast Host Academy offers 22 in-depth courses, hundreds of video lessons, dozens of hours of learning, live support sessions, and more. If you want to be a successful podcaster, then the Podcast Host Academy is the way to go. Click the link in the description to find out more. Hi, and welcome to I Watch This As an Adult, the podcast where I review movies from my childhood from an adult perspective. And this week I'll be reviewing 1985's The Last Dragon. Hey guys, welcome to the show. This week I'm going to be reviewing The Last Dragon. Before we get to that, we got to talk about things I watched this week. Let's get right into that Falcon and Winter Soldier finale first, because there's something else I want to talk about that I'm probably going to go in-depth on. I'm not really going to go in-depth on the Falcon Winter Soldier finale, but I enjoyed it. It was everything it was supposed to be. You know, it was everything it was supposed to be. We finally saw the suit. They introduced the suit in a dramatic fashion. It's the same suit from the goddamn comics, you know, because in the comics, Sam Wilson becomes Captain America. I believe, I haven't really read Captain America in a while, but I believe he is still Captain America. I believe he is the current Captain America. Not really sure if Steve Rogers came back. I think there was a Steve Rogers that came back, because, like, I'm gonna be honest with you guys, I haven't really been keeping up with comics. I haven't kept up with comics since 2010. It's been a good 10 years since I like actively read a lot of comics. I've been dipping in and out. I got a couple of comics, you know. I got some Black Panther stuff. I've really been reading like the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers comic book from Boom Studios. That's pretty fun. I like that comic. I've been reading the IDW Ninja Turtles comic. That's pretty fun. You know, but a lot of Marvel DC stuff, I'm like, I just feel like their shit just going off the deep end, too much that I can't even, like, keep up, you know. It's like, it's just too much, you know, they're just doing too much. It's like, there's just too many things going on. I was like, I can't even keep up with this shit, you know. I'm 10 years out, really, like, of really, like, being deep into comic books, you know. So like, me coming back and I don't know what the fuck is going on, you know. I know certain things, you know, like I know that Sam Wilson's Captain America, I believe, still. I know there was a Lady Thor. I know, like, there's like a Amadeus Cho is the Hulk now. Is he still? I don't know, but you know, I'm saying things and I don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, in the comics, Sam Wilson was Captain America. So they're pretty much just using the same comic book costume, you know. It looks good. I didn't think that I've seen that costume. I've seen people cosplay that costume and it looks good, but I didn't think that they could actually do that in a television show in the MCU and make that look good. You know. But it looks fly, man. It looks dope. So I think he still has Red Wing with him. Like, it looks fucking dope. I like it. So I'm just gonna go through bullet points. They went to go stop the Flag Smashers. Sharon Carter was there for some reason. Spoiler alert, she's the power broker. I'm not even gonna put any suspense on that shit. You know, like, she's the power broker, okay guys? What else happened? Bucky came in to help Sam. The Flag Smashers, really, what's her name? God damn it, the redhead girl. Shit, Carly. Carly is the one that she went off the fucking deep end. She was far gone. I don't think there was any saving that girl. You know, I think she was pretty much a lost cause. So saving her was far beyond she's far beyond repair. Let's say that she's far beyond repair, and she was going to fuck off. She was like, "Hey man, if we got to kill people, we got to kill people." And the rest of the Flag Smashers was looking at her like, "Yo, well, we ain't really get into it. We ain't get into this. You know, we ain't getting into this to kill people. Like, what the fuck is going on?" But yeah, man, she was vicious. John Walker came back thinking he's still Captain America. He made a fucking shield with his fucking medals on it and shit. And and like they kind of had to fucking babysit him, Bucky, because even like they were like running to find Flag Smashers, Sam, Bucky, and bitch ass John. We're running to find the Flag Smashers, and like John went somewhere, and Sam was like, "You gonna handle that, playboy?" He looking at Bucky, looking at Bucky like, "You gonna handle that, bruh?" He's like, "I got him." And so Bucky had to keep him in line to make sure he don't fucking kill nobody or go off the deep end. But for the most part, he didn't display any bitch assness too much, you know, in this episode. He's actually pretty cooperable. But we'll see later, because Julia Louis-Dreyfus shows up again and she gives him a new costume and he gets the name U.S. Agent. So that's my favorite part of this whole, by the way, Carly dies. Sharon Carter shoots the shit out of her, because we find out that that was the time that Sharon Carter is revealed to be the power broker. And I think Carly kills Batroc the Leaper. I think she kills that nigga. And then Sharon just pops Carly like three times in the goddamn back, I think. Either in the stomach or the back. Because I think she was about to kill Sam. Because Sam was still trying to talk her off the ledge and shit like that. I was like, bruh, she's gone. Stop. Stop it. And Sharon just fucking shoots that bitch. She just pop, pop, pop. Just shoots it like three times. And I was like, yeah, she's dead. She's fucking dead. So Carly is no more. But let me get back to what I was saying. Like, my favorite part of this whole... Oh my God, almost brought a tear to my eye. I'm not gonna lie. Excuse me. I almost brought a tear to my eye. Was when Sam went to go see Isaiah Bradley again. And he brought him to the Captain America Museum. And he showed him a statue. I think he had them make a statue of Isaiah Bradley. And it was so fucking emotional to me. Oh my God, I got a little choked up. I got a little emotional seeing that. I'm not gonna lie, man. You know, like shit like this usually... I ain't gonna lie, I've cried at movies before. I'm not gonna be here and say, like, I ain't never cried in no movie. Ain't no fictional character gonna make me act like no bitch. But yeah, I'm like, I cried in Creed. I cried, and that was another movie I cried in. I cried in The Pursuit of Happiness. When Will Smith finally got the job at the end. You know, like, oh, he finally got the job. Oh, you know, all this shit. But, but yeah, I've cried. I've shed some tears. You know, like I shed a little tear of Black Panther, even though it's not my favorite movie. I shed a little tear. There was a couple of moments in there that made me kind of shed, like a thug tear. But you know, because we only cry thug tears around here. But but yeah, yeah, man, that shit was heartwarming, man. I loved it, and I loved that they ended it right there. But overall, thought it was a great show, man. Thought it was a great show. I love this. I'm going to say I love this more than WandaVision. I want to say. I liked WandaVision. I love this more. You know, WandaVision, I liked it. Like, It wasn't it like it was. I'm not. I don't really fuck with like the magic and shit, but it was okay. It was okay. Oh, and Sharon Carter, looked like she got some shit planned, cause like she finally got pardoned at the end for helping, take out the Flag Smashers, and she got a pardon, and she was on the phone with some people, and we'll find out what happens after that. There are plans for a Captain America 4, I heard. They greenlit, from what I heard, is that they greenlitted another Captain America movie with Sam. So, and it's gonna be written by the guy that was a showrunner on Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Malcolm Spellman. It's gonna be written by him, I believe. Like, he's gonna write the script. I don't know who's gonna direct it. I don't know if they're gonna bring the Russos back or what. What they gonna do? Cause I think the Russos directed the last two Captain America movies. They directed Winter Soldier and they directed Civil War. It'd be cool if they got them back. It'd be cool if they got a new black director. I'm trying to think of somebody off the top of my head. I don't want to go Coogler again. You know, Coogler is synonymous with Black Panther. There is this other dude. I haven't watched his movie yet, but there's this other guy here. I'm hearing a lot. Shaka King. I'm hearing a lot about Shaka King. I still haven't watched Judas and the Black Messiah. I gotta get on that. I know. Trying to think of some black directors. This could be one they could give to Ava DuVernay. I don't know. But I don't know if they should get a black woman director. Because you got Ava DuVernay. Got Regina King out here. She doing her thing. One Night in Miami is fucking spectacular. I love that fucking movie. I really want to watch it again. I'll probably watch it again. I'm probably going to watch that shit again tonight. I love that movie. That movie was fucking phenomenal. Great movie. But trying to think of some other black directors that could get some shine off of here. Maybe a F. Gary Gray. I think F. Gary Gray was supposed to direct a Marvel movie. And then he got sidetracked or some shit. You give it to F. Gary Gray. You know, there's some black directors out here that they could use. You know, Rick Fumiyama, he's not a bad director either. You know, they'll find somebody. But I'm looking forward to Captain America 4. It's gonna be awesome. I enjoyed Falcon and the Winter Soldier. You know, it's a great show. I give it a 5 out of 5, man. Perfect fucking show. Started off a little slow, but it crescendoed perfectly. Great fucking show. Now let's talk about this goddamn Mortal Kombat movie. Why don't we? I watched Mortal Kombat this past Friday. I watched it again on Saturday. I had to watch it again on Saturday because Friday I was actually kind of feeling like shit. I was not feeling well. And I had to watch it again because like I was fucking out of it. I don't know what the fuck was wrong with me. I don't know if I got some type of like food poisoning or because like I did not feel good. That Friday, I felt like shit, but I felt better Saturday morning for some reason, and I watched the movie again, and there's a lot of mixed reactions to this Mortal Kombat. There's some people that just fucking hate it. There's some people that love it. I'm right there in the middle, really. I think it's just okay. I think the problem was there's some flaws in this movie. Let's just get to that. There's some fucking flaws in this goddamn movie. A lot of flaws. The first flaw I had was I think they picked the wrong villains. You know, the villains are fucking dull. The villains that they picked, they didn't pick the right villains. The only two that fit, I'm gonna say the only three that fit. They picked Melina with the chick and him, man. Oh my god, Melina, the chick that plays Melina. I think her name is Sissy Stringer. I looked her up. God, man, my god. She thinking of a bowl of oatmeal. My God. God damn. oh, my God. Yeah, man. I was like, me and my wife were looking at it the first time. Even my wife was like, God damn. You know? You're like, that girl's dragging a wagon. She was like. But yeah, Melina, the chick that played Melina, I had no problem with her. She was okay. They had to have Sub-Zero because, like, I'm going to just tell you, most of this story is about the conflict between Sub-Zero and Scorpion. That's what most of this movie is about. Well, the first half of the movie, and then I'm going to spoil the fuck out of this movie, by the way. I'm spoiling the shit out of this movie. If you haven't seen it by now, oh well. I'm just going to say this. The first half of the movie and the last half of the movie is about the conflict between Scorpion and Sub-Zero. That's what you get. The rest of this, you get a lot of Sub-Zero. You get a lot of Sub-Zero creeping in your window like a goddamn horror monster. You know, like he's a goddamn serial killer. I guess he is. He's fucking in Mortal Kombat. But he's creeping through your window and standing outside your fucking door and shit. You know, he's doing all that shit. And I wonder how many people saw that in the theater, because there's a scene where, like, he's in somebody's goddamn door. Where, like, he's, like, there's a window in the door, and he's standing outside the door. And they hit you with the horror music, too. They're like, beep! You know, they hit you with that shit. I wonder how many people in the theater, if you went to go see this in the theater, I wonder how many people jumped. Like, oh, shit, Sub-Zero, you know? You know? Because they had that nigga standing outside the goddamn door, outside the window, like he's fucking Michael Myers. They dead ass did that shit. But yeah, man, like I said, some of the villains I didn't care for, like Sub-Zero's cool. He's okay. He's like one of the main villains. You know, Sub-Zero gets a lot of screen time in this movie. They pick Melina. I'm okay with her. She gets a moderate amount of time, a moderate amount of screen time, but she's not in this movie very much. I was cool with Cabal, because Cabal is in the movie also. They got him talking like a fucking Italian mob boss, though. He's like, come on, man. He's like, I know a guy. He's a real piece of shit, or something like that. Like, I can't really do an Italian accent, but, you know, but that's what he sounded like. He sounded like, Gubba Gnu, what you talking about? Hey, he's like, I'm in the Mortal Kombat. What's going on? You know, he sounded like that. Those three could, but I think they picked some real. Oh, Goro's in here too. Forgot about Goro. I'm going to tell you what the fuck they do with Goro. My God. What the fuck did they do to Goro? But anyway, there was some other characters in here. I was like, nah. Shang Tsung's in here, of course. He's the main villain. But there's these other two guys. There's these other two characters that they picked. I think it's one named Natira. She's like this, like, fucking winged, like, dragon lady or some shit. And they picked this other dude named General Rico, who's like this big, who's played by Nathan Jones, who I didn't recognize. That was Nathan Jones. Nathan Jones used to be a professional wrestler. He used to be in the WWE. He played General Rico, and like, so he's just like this big fucking dude in armor and with a hammer, with a big like sledgehammer. And I was like, who the fuck is this? I'm not gonna lie, I haven't really played Mortal Kombat in years. I haven't played Mortal Kombat since like Mortal Kombat Armageddon. And I was looking at this nigga, I was like, who the fuck is he? You know, and this other chick. I'm like, why them? Because if I would have picked the characters, I would have picked. I probably would have picked. There's a new character in the newer Mortal Kombat. Two new characters in the newer Mortal Kombat. I probably would have picked. If they needed a male, another male villain to flesh it out, I would have picked either like Aaron Black, or I would have picked Ermic. Those are the two I would have picked. I would have picked either Aaron Black or Ermic. Those are two like great like starter male villains. Or I would have picked, and for women, for the girls,
I would have picked either Devorah. If they had, I'm gonna say, like, if they had to have like a kind of like grotesque, like alien type character, female, I would have picked either Devorah or Shiva. Those are the two I would have picked. I would have picked no goddamn Natira, General Rico. You know, you know. No. That's what made that shit so. That's what made the, those villains look. Those villains look. That villain side look weak as fuck. The heroes ain't no better. Cause you got Jax, who's incapacitated for most of the fucking movie. By the way, and like most of the movie is Jax laying in a goddamn bed. Like you spend like at least like Jax spends like at least like 40 minutes. Of the movie laying in a goddamn bed, you know, like, because Sub-Zero broke his arm. If you saw that shit in the trailer, you should know that by now. Cause like he break, cause like they break, cause Sub-Zero breaks his arms and throws him, down at, throws him off the bottom, not the bottom, but like he throws him from the top of a building, and like he just hits his head and lands at the bottom, lands on the ground. So I'm like, oh shit, he dead. But for then we're like, but he's in the rest of the trailer, you know, so he can't be dead here, you know. So because they didn't show, they showed shit that wasn't in the, they showed shit that was in the trailer that they didn't show yet, so he can't be dead. So, but like most of this, but like most of this movie, Jax is in a fucking coma with no arms, laying in a bed. That's Jax for the most part. And then he gets the fucking arms. Who else? Sonya Blade. I don't like the chick that plays Sonya Blade. It's like nobody. It's like nobody could play Sonya Blade right. There's not one actress that could play Sonya Blade right. Bridget Wilson wasn't that good of a Sonya Blade. That second chick from Annihilation, she was a terrible Sonya Blade. And then this chick. She's not a good Sonya Blade. Like, she's very, she was very, like, cosplay. She looked like a, she looked and acted like a cosplay Sonya Blade. You know, she's like one of those, like, YouTube video Sonya Blades. You know how they make, like, a YouTube, fan fiction, like, fan film? She, that's what she looked like. She looked like a YouTube fan film Sonya Blade. That was the equivalent of her acting, too. I was like, I didn't like her at all. It's like no one, it's like no one can play Sonya Blade. No one can play Sonya Blade right. It's pathetic. But you know what the best Sonya Blade is? The one from Scorpion's Revenge. That's the best Sonya Blade, the animated one. But I'll talk about Scorpion's. I think I'll talk about Scorpion's Revenge in a little bit because I finally fucking watched that movie. Just to compare. The two, this Mortal Kombat and Scorpion's Revenge, just to compare the two. But like I said, don't like her. Kung Lao's pretty dope. Spoiler alert, too bad he dies like halfway through the goddamn movie. Kung Lao was the dopest character in the whole goddamn movie. He was doing all the dope shit. He was doing all the cool shit. And you know what, like, and know what they did? Whoop, let's kill him. Whoop, you know, let's kill his ass. You know, they killed the fuck out of Kung Lao. Liu Kang is dull as fucking dishwater. It made me wish that Robin Hsu came back, by the way. Oh, God. I never thought, I was looking at this dude, I was like, looking at this dude makes me lorn for Robin Hsu. Robin Hsu should have came back and played. I know the dude's like in his 50s now, I think, Robin Hsu, but I think he could have pulled it off. He still looks good. I've seen Robin Hsu recently, like, he still looks good. He's still in shape. He doesn't really look like an old man in the face, you know. Even if they wanted to do, oh, because isn't there an older Liu Kang in the new Mortal Kombat? I think in Mortal Kombat 11, there's an older Liu Kang. They could have did older Liu Kang. You know, they could have did that. Robin Hsu could have came back and played Liu Kang. That would have been fucking dope. Because, like, this dude, what's his name? Ludie Lynn or whatever the fuck his name is. Lenny Lane, whatever the fuck his name is. He was not it. He was not cutting it. He was fucking dull. And then they kind of, this is why Katana was missing because they really should have had Katana in this movie. She was really missing. Cause Liu Kang, kind of came off a little suspect. You know what I'm saying? The way he was talking to other dudes and shit. I was like, yo, bro, you alright? You know? Him and Kung Lao kind of had a weird relationship. Even though I know they said they were cousins, but it was kind of like, what the fuck? I'm like, y'all kind of weird. And even like Liu Kang said something after Kung Lao dies that was kind of suspect too. I'm like, bruh, pause. But, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that, but still, I was like, Katana was missing because this nigga needed some pussy. I'm sorry, I'm just gonna say it out loud. This nigga needed some pussy. Liu Kang really needed some ass. You know, he needed a girl along after or something, because he was being really weird in this whole movie. I did not like this Liu Kang. I didn't like this Liu Kang at all. Who else was in this movie? Kano. I'm just gonna spoil Kano, bro. Kano is the best thing in the whole goddamn movie, by the way. Kano is good. He starts off on the on Raiden's side. Then, spoiler alert, he joins Shang Tsung towards the end of the movie. He switches sides. I guess because he's talking, because like Cabal comes to talk to him. I guess Cabal offered him a whole bunch of goddamn money to turn. And so like he fucking turned. He turned on Raiden's guys and joined Shang Tsung's guys. Spoiler alert, Kano is a backstabbing piece of shit. Who knew? But anyway, then let's talk about this other dude. Raiden. Oh, I forgot to talk about Raiden. Let's talk about Raiden. Raiden is nothing. You know? Made me wish that Christopher Lambert came back. I wish I had Christopher Lambert back. James Remar from Annihilation. You know, he was a better Raiden than this dude. It was just, he was very, everybody's, I don't want to be this dude. I really don't want to be this dude. And I don't want to get canceled or whatever the fuck. But, God. I really don't want to be this fucking dude. I don't. Oh, shit. How do I say this? I want to say this with some tact. I'm not trying to offend nobody or nothing like that. But I'm sorry. All the Asian guys in this movie were just so fucking dull. I'm sorry. The guy that played Shang Tsung was dull. And I'm not saying that Asian actors are dull, because the guy that played him in the first movie is fucking fantastic. What's his name? Kerry Takanawa or something? I forgot his name. I know his first name is Kerry. I forgot his last name. But that dude's fucking phenomenal. He was fucking terrible. The guy to play Shang Tsung is terrible. The guy to play Raiden, fucking terrible. The guy to play Liu Kang, fucking terrible. Kung Lao did a lot of cool shit, but when he talked, fucking terrible. You know? The guy that played Cole Young, and I'm gonna talk about him separately. Oh, God. Shit. Motherfucker, even the guys that played Scorpion and Sub-Zero, not that great. They're not that good. Not that good. But, like, let's talk about this dude. Let's talk about Cole Young, man. The guy that played Cole Young. I think the actor's name is Louis Tan. And I'm even going to talk about why they picked him as the main character. Because, essentially, Liu Kang should be the main character. He should be the guy we're following. You know, like, he should be the guy whose quest this is. Because, like, I think it's supposed to be, like, his destiny to win Mortal Kombat or some shit like that. I think that's, like, the storyline. It's his destiny to win Mortal Kombat. But all of a sudden, you get this character out of nowhere, Cole Young, who's supposed to be, like, Scorpion's descendant. Well, a lot of people thought he was going to become Scorpion, but nah, he doesn't do that. He doesn't become Scorpion. Actually, he and Scorpion fight Sub-Zero together. You know? So, that's what happens. But Cole Young just comes out of nowhere. He's a character that's not even in a fucking game. I forgot about Goro. I'm going to tell you, because, like, Cole Young and Goro fucking fight. Like, they have a big-ass, like, fight. And, like, Goro is beating the shit out of Cole. Like, he's whipping Cole's ass. And what they do, because I think, like, the thing is, like, every Mortal Kombat fighter is supposed to find something called the Arcana, which is, like, your power from deep within. Liu Kang has fireballs, Kung Lao has the hat, you know? Who else? Kano has laser. He has laser eye. That's his Akana. So, like, the whole time, Cole Young can't find his Akana. And what Raiden does is, like, Raiden's like, hey, man, you can't find your shit. You got to get the fuck up out of here, dog. You know? Like, go the fuck home. You know? He's like, go the fuck home. So Cole goes home. And Shang Tsung sends Goro after Cole. So, and then, like, Cole has a family, has a wife and a daughter. And so, like, Goro goes after Cole's family. And that's what brings out his Akana, which is, like, this, he gets, like, this, like, gold armor and these two, like these, like, bladed tonfons, you know, like, the two, like, baton sticks, you know? And so, like, he fights Goro, and he fucks Goro up, and I was like, damn, they kind of played Goro like a bitch. Goro is very insignificant in this movie, very fucking insignificant, because, like, Goro gets killed in, like, the middle, I want to say, like, the middle of the movie. He's like in the middle of the movie. He gets killed. They got Reptile in this movie. He gets killed at the beginning. Reptile gets killed at the beginning of the movie. He gets taken out. Like, it ain't shit. They really took out Reptile like he wasn't nothing. The two, like, most, like, vicious alien-looking characters, they insignificant. They were nothing. But Cole Young, I'm going to tell you why they picked Cole Young instead of Liu Kang. I hate to be this dude again, because it's because he's mixed. I'm sorry. Like, Louis Tan is not all the way Asian. They are not. I don't think they are. They're still not comfortable letting an Asian man, a fully Asian man, carry a movie. That's why you get guys like Louis Tan. You get guys like Keanu Reeves. Henry Golding. Because Henry Golding is not all the way Asian. I believe he has a white daddy. Like, his dad's white. Like, everybody talk about Crazy Rich Asians. Crazy Rich Asians, all Asian cast. I'm like, Henry Golding's half white. It's okay for him to kiss on Constance Wu, who's a fully Asian woman. But it's not okay for a fully Asian man to be the lead in a movie. And I hope, and that's why I don't know what Simi Liu is. What is Simi Liu? Because he's playing Shang-Chi. Is he fully Asian? Because I gotta look that up, because I might be wrong. But Marvel always has to, I hate that Marvel always has to be the fucking groundbreaker for that shit. You know? They always have to be the fucking groundbreaker. You know? Because, like, Simi Liu will probably be. But then also again, he's doing martial arts. But then again, also again, this is a martial arts movie, you know. And you would think, Because doesn't Warner Brothers have like an Asian CEO or some shit? What's that guy? Or is Walter Armada just running DC? I think he's running DC. They did have a Kevin Fujihara. Was his name Kevin Fujihara? But I think he stepped down because he got caught with that girl. You know, like he got caught tricking off on that girl. So like he's gone. But still, man, it was like they just couldn't let a fully Asian man fucking carry this movie. You know, I know Ludie Lin was fucking dull as shit, but this dude's no fucking different. Cole Young is dull. He's fucking terrible. He's not good. There was no need for this fucking dude. No need. No fucking need for this dude. And it looks like they're going to Alice this motherfucker. They're going to Alice from Resident Evil this motherfucker. He didn't get on my nerves as much as Alice did in the Resident Evil movies. Because Alice just took the fuck over and like no other character could do nothing. They let the other characters do some shit, at least. They let Jax fight. They let Sonya fight. They let Liu Kang and Kung Lao and all those other guys fight. But Cole Young looks like he's going to be the leader. You know, looks like he's going to be the fucking leader of the Mortal Kombat crew. You know? And I'm like, no, bruh. No. I don't like this shit. I don't like this shit at all. But anyway, overall, I thought the movie was okay. Like I said, I watched Scorpion's Revenge after that. Scorpion's Revenge did a lot better. It did a lot better job of telling Scorpion's story. The rivalry between Scorpion and Sub-Zero. Scorpion's actually in the movie. That's a plus. So we get to follow his fucking story. You know, like, he's in the movie all throughout. He's not just in the movie at the beginning and he shows up at the end to fight Sub-Zero. You know, because that's it. That's all you see from Scorpion. He's in the middle, he's in the beginning when he's alive, and then he's at the end when he's undead fighting Sub-Zero. That's it. That's all you get from Scorpion. But like I said, I thought it was an okay movie. It's not the greatest. It's way better than Annihilation. No, way better than that shit. I gotta give it a 3 out of 5. I thought it was okay. I'll be back with a review of The Last Dragon. Stay tuned. Brush is an electric toothbrush that will change the way you think about brushing your teeth. With powerful sonic technology and ultra-gentle bristles, the brush redefines what it means to have super clean teeth. It's like that feeling when you just leave the dentist, a fresh, whole mouth clean, every single day. Our listeners get 15% off their total purchase with the code POD15. Follow the link in the show notes and enter the code POD15 to get your exclusive discount and upgrade your oral care routine. All right, guys, welcome back to the show. Last Dragon, 1985. This is a tricky one because this movie actually came out before I was born. Or came out the year I was born. You know, it quite possibly came out the month I was conceived. Because I believe this movie came out in March. And I believe that I was conceived in March of 1985. So, and I kind of think that this movie might have something to do with my conception, you know. So this is gonna be a tricky one. This one's kind of a little bit near and dear to me, because I'll tell you guys a story. My dad told a story recently to me about how he and my mom
had went to go see The Last Dragon. They've seen The Last Dragon at least 5 times in the theater. That's the story I think he told me. And another thing about this story is my dad, back in the day, back in 1985, my dad had a striking resemblance to Timac at the time. My dad looked like Timac, the guy that plays Bruce Leroy in this movie. That's what my dad looked like back in the day. So, I don't know. Maybe moms saw Timac on the screen and looked at my dad, got a little hot and bothered, you know, and one thing leads to another, and then I'm here, you know? So, you know what I'm saying? You know? You know, that's probably what happened. I don't know. Because this is very close. I think this is very close to when I was conceived. Let's just say that. My birthday's in December, so that would be the right amount of time for me to be conceived and then come out in December. So, just saying. But let's talk about the first time I saw this movie. The first time I saw this movie, I had to be about like 6 years old, and I was really into martial arts at the time. I've just gotten into martial arts because I like the Ninja Turtles, okay? The Ninja Turtles got me into martial arts, okay? They were doing martial arts. Then he had like 3 ninjas and all this other stuff. My dad watched a lot of martial arts films. You know, he watched like a lot of Van Damme movies and Seagal movies. Don the Dragon Wilson. If anybody remembers Don the Dragon Wilson. But yeah, I was really into martial arts. I actually wanted to do martial arts, I think. Yeah, I actually wanted to do martial arts. My parents didn't have the money to sign me up for classes, so I missed out on it. So this movie was like really up my alley, especially seeing a black guy do martial arts. It was like, oh my god, this fucking awesome. You know, I didn't say that at 6, but I was just like, yeah, that's pretty cool. Let's get into the production of this movie. The movie was directed by Michael Schultz, who has directed a bunch of cult classic films. Like, he directed Coolie High, which is a cult classic, and he directed Crush Groove, another cult classic. Another movie I haven't watched. I'm going to take some time out, and I'm going to watch Crush Groove, because Sheila E. is in that. I got a thing for Sheila E. You know, I like older women. I'm sorry. You know, that's my thing. I got a thing for older women. I want to watch Sheila E. I think somebody told me that she gets naked in that movie too. I don't know. But I want to watch Sheila E. in Crush Groove. So I got a thing for her. It's weird. I think we share a birthday too, which is also weird. I think Sheila E. and I share a birthday. So that's pretty cool. Anyway, let's talk about the script. The script was written by Louis Venosta. It currently has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 58%, which I guess that's fair. Whatever. I'm starting to look at these Rotten Tomatoes scores every time I do these reviews. I've started to incorporate the Rotten Tomatoes scores and all the Rotten Tomatoes scores. I'm like, sometimes they right, sometimes they wrong. There was one I was talking about, they were mad wrong. I was like, what the fuck were y'all smoking? But anyway, got 58%. The movie had a budget of $10 million. It brought in $33 million at the box office. That's pretty good. Let's talk about the plot. The movie follows Bruce Leroy Green, played by Timac, who is on a spiritual journey to find Master Sum Dum Goy so he can unlock the ultimate power of the glow. On his journey, he has to battle the evil Shonuff, played by Julius Carey, and the mogul Eddie Arcadian, played by Chris Munry. And he also has to constantly save VJ Laura Charles, played by Vanity. Some other stuff that was in here. Some great casting news for this movie. Some interesting casting news for this movie. for the role of Bruce Leroy. Billy Blanks, Wesley Snipes, Mario Van Peebles, Lawrence Fishburne, Denzel Washington were all considered for the role of Bruce Leroy. I'm tongue-tied today. Goddamn. Bruce Leroy. I don't know what's going on in my mouth today, but pause. Billy Blanks and Wesley Snipes are the only ones that knew martial arts. So, I don't know how old Billy Blanks was, because I think this guy was really supposed to be, like, really young. I think Wesley Snipes was around that, was a young guy. He was probably in his early 20s in the 80s, I would say. Probably early 20s in the 80s. So, like, he probably would have fit. But Billy Blanks, I think, was, like, probably 30. He's probably in his 30s in the 80s. So, he probably wouldn't have fit. Denzel Washington, I don't see it. Lawrence Fishburne, I don't see it. And Mario Van Peebles, I don't see it. All those guys don't look like they could fight. You know, I'm sorry. Those guys don't look like they could fight. I'm sorry. So they skipped all those guys and they went to the 19-year-old Ty Mack. He was 19 years old. Very good. I'm gonna talk more about him later. This movie had a lot of Saturday morning cartoon elements. You know, you had Bruce Leroy. I'm going to butcher this motherfucker's name. I'm going to butcher the shit out of Bruce Leroy's name. I'm just getting tongue-tied. Just saying those two words together. You know, Bruce Leroy. Bruce Leroy. See? I fucked it up. But, yeah, you got Bruce Leroy, who's like the chiseled young hero. You got Laura, who's like his beautiful love interest, who he has to constantly save. Because Laura gets kidnapped a lot. Laura gets kidnapped so many fucking times. It's like there's a lot of her getting kidnapped, getting thrown in a van, get bound and tied up and gagged. You know, it's like some weird BDSM shit going on with Laura. But yeah, she gets kidnapped a lot. I mean, like he even has two over the top villains in Shownuff and Eddie Arcadian, and that's one thing I do miss. I do miss over-the-top villains. You know, villains that are just evil for the sake of it. You know, I miss that shit. I really do. You know, I really miss it. Because now everybody has got to have a backstory. You know, what it sticks out my head is like Daredevil. Remember that the first season of Daredevil? When we had to see how the Kingpin became the Kingpin because he beat his mama. And I was like, the Kingpin did beat his mom. I'm tripping. I was trying to say that the Kingpin beat his mama. The Kingpin's dad beat his mom. And then he killed his dad. And they tried to say that's the reason that the Kingpin became the Kingpin. And I was like, bruh, can't the Kingpin just be evil? You know? There's no such thing as just evil people. Just for the sake of being evil. Nobody can be born evil. I mean, bro, not everybody has to have a fucking backstory, bro. And I like this. These two dudes don't have a fucking backstory. The Shogun of Harlem, just shows up out of fucking nowhere. And he's like, yo, I run this motherfucker. You know, like, that's what he does. He just like, I run this shit, okay? This is all me. I'm the Shogun. I run this shit. I'm the best martial artist in the world. Anybody want to step to me, gonna get their ass kicked. That's his story. Eddie Arcadian, he's like, I'm trying to get paid. That's it. That's his fucking story. You're like, I'm trying to get rich. Anything with money in it, I want it. And if I gotta fucking kill some people to do it along the way, so fucking be it. That's his story. You know what I mean? That's his fucking story. They're like, not everybody, he doesn't have a story like, oh, my parents were poor, and showing up doesn't have to have a story. It was like, my mama was smoking crack with me, and this is how I came out, and I was going from foster home, and all this other bullshit, you know. And they're just like, I'm here, and I'm evil as fuck, you know. That's their story. That's it. Another thing I like about this movie, I like that this movie is very whimsical. The movie's very whimsical. And like, because shockingly, like, this is the movie that took me back to when movies didn't take themselves too seriously. You know, because I feel that, like, everything's got to be dark and brooding, and everybody's got to have a fucking story, and everybody's got to be mad and sad and all this shit. You know, and it's got to be like, oh, a guy's got to be a hero. A guy's got to be a hero because, like, it's his last resort or some shit like that. You know, a guy just doesn't want to be a hero just to be a hero. You know, they got to be a hero because, oh, they took somebody I like. Or, they took, well, I guess you got to say that here because, like, they took Laura. But the thing is, like, Bruce Leroy don't even really know Laura. He just saved Laura because it was the right thing to do. That's the thing. Like, he did it because it was the right thing to do. He didn't do it because he didn't even do it because he knew her. You know? But anyway, yeah, man, I like this movie because, like, it didn't take itself too seriously, you know? This movie had a lot of interesting and colorful characters. You know, like I said, Shonuff, the Shogun of Harlem, stood out. He was a big fucking standout. Great, 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 great villain. Vanity. Let's talk about Vanity. My God. Vanity really pushes the boundaries when it comes to sexuality in this movie. And I love every fucking minute of it. I love every fucking minute of it. Like, Vanity. Oh my God. Vanity is just like she's a fucking hot and ready pizza from Little Caesars, man. She's ready. she ready. through this whole goddamn movie, she is fucking ready, you know, and I love it. There's one part in here, like, she sings this song called Seventh Heaven, which is, like, very sexually suggestive. As a kid, I didn't get it, but as an adult listening to that shit, I was like, this bitch talk about sex, this bitch talk about having an orgasm. That song's about busting a nut. That's what that song is about. But yeah, man, like, she pushes the limits. Let's talk about Bruce Leroy. I love Timex, naivete and nobility as Bruce Leroy. Just a dude doing the right thing, you know, like, doing the right thing. He saw somebody in need, went to go save her, got in some trouble, you know, but kicked everybody's ass, you know, like. And he gets the girl at the end. That's super cool. We also get our young Ernie Reyes Jr. in here too, which is awesome. You know, he's been kicking ass for a long time, people. He's been kicking ass for a long time. Like, he had to be, I think they said he was 12. I want to say. They say he was 12 years old in this movie. So, he's really young. This movie is not without its issues. You know, like, I do have an issue with the Asian and Black stereotypes. You know, like, there's a lot of Asian and Black stereotypes in this movie, but it's the 80s. What the fuck we gonna do? We can't go back to the past and tell these people, hey, that's not right. You know, we only change what's happening now. And that's the kind of thing I hate with cancel culture. They try to go back in time and change shit, you know? It happened already. Let it go. You know, let's try to work on what's going on now. You know, what's in the now. But, you know, like I said, it's the 80s. What the fuck we gonna do? There was a lot of problematic shit in the 80s and the 90s and even in the early 2000s. So we just started learning that, oh, that shit ain't right. You know, we just started learning that shit. So let's not judge anybody back in the past, really. Overall, I enjoyed this movie, man. I really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was a big bunch of dumb fun. Really, just big ass dumb fun. I'm gonna give this a 4 out of 5. It's 4 out of 5 for me. I had a ball watching this movie. Just a big ball watching this movie. And looking at Vanity, because she's hot and ready. My God. May she rest in peace, by the way. May she rest in peace. Join me next week when it's going to be the beginning of Wayans Month. I'm going to be watching movies from the Wayans brothers. And I'm going to start off with A Low Down Dirty Shame. Check you guys later. Peace.